You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for he is
good. Yes, he is good. As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. This is Pat Randall, and welcome to another hour of Declaring the Finished Work on this wonderful Thursday that the Lord has made. I'm grateful that the Lord saw fit for me to be alive today to join you again on this broadcast. I'm excited about jumping into the Word of God today. So let's get into prayer first, and then we're going to jump into the broadcast today. Amen. Father, we praise you and we glorify your name this day. We thank you. We thank you for life and breath. We thank you that you have chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we were already a part of who you are. We were in your mind and you spoke us into being in this earth realm. So we thank you. We thank you that you have predestined us for good works. We thank you that you put your spirit on the inside of us that empowers us to be more than conquerors, that have caused us to triumph no matter what the trial, no matter what the tribulation. So we praise you. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin, that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us of all unrighteousness. And therefore, we come boldly and confidently into your presence giving thanks. Thank you for this broadcast. Thank you for another opportunity to share the word of God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing, for it is your power that breaks the yoke over the people of God. It is your power that breaks that blinding yoke of the unbeliever so that they might see and know the true and living God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So have your way. Have your way on this broadcast today. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. And we thank you for your continued perfecting work in our lives. Amen and amen. Today's encouraging word is entitled, Until We Hate the Flesh. And, you know, I thought about changing this title. This is the original title that the Holy Spirit inspired, and it actually was birthed out of my own personal experience that as I grow in the Lord, there are times when my flesh shows up and I have learned to, or I have grown to a place, I should say, by the grace of God, to begin to detest it, to begin to hate it and understand that it is an enemy. It is an enemy of God. It's at enmity with God. And it is an enemy in my life. But the Lord has a lot to say about our flesh in the Word of God. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the Word of God. And we're going to allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to minister to us on this particular topic, the flesh. I'm going to read this verse, Romans 8, verse 6. So if you have your Bibles on your devices or on your laptop or the physical book itself, open it up to Romans 8. And I'm just going to start in verse 6. I'll probably go through some more scriptures in Romans 8. So keep that book opened or easy to get back to, because there's a large amount of text that I'll be reading from Romans 8. Romans 8, 6 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit," and that's a capital S, "on God, is life and peace." I'm going to read that again. "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." So the first part of that verse says when we set our minds on the flesh, it is death. So it's killing something. And usually what it is, to name a few, it kills our joy. It kills our peace, our contentment. It kills our self-control. It kills our ability to overcome. So let's define what the flesh is according to the Word of God. So that Greek word is sarx, and it's spelled S as in Sam, A-R-X, like an X-ray. And it is actually referring to the carnality of man, that sensual nature of man. It also calls it the animal nature, with its cravings that incite us to sin. It also denotes the human nature, the earthly nature of man apart from divine influence, apart from God. That part that is apart from God, apart from his influence. And therefore, it's prone to sin and it's opposed to God. And we have to really understand that it is actually opposed to God. There is, the Word of God says, there's no good thing that dwelleth in our flesh. And we have to embrace that truth. Also, it represents the unregenerate state of mind, the lower and the temporary element in the Christian, because it's temporary, because this thing is going to pass away. Amen. Amen. Because we are a new creation. And once Christ returns and we have that promise of a glorified body, we will be completely free. We will not have to believe, or we will not have to war against the flesh, because it will no longer exist. But while we are here in this temporary body, this imperfect physical body, because it will pass away and it will be replaced by that which is perfect. Amen. In fact, the scripture refers to this physical body that we have to as corruptible. But when the corruptible puts on the incorruptible, glory to God, amen, there will be nothing holding us. There will be nothing warring against us. Amen. So just gone over what is the flesh, so now you understand when I'm talking about the flesh, I'm really not talking about your physical body, but I'm talking about this nature that is sensual, it's animal-like in its cravings, and it's that part that incites us to sin, and it is a nature that is apart from God's influence. Amen. And it actually is at, you know, it really doesn't want to do anything that God wants us to do. It just doesn't want to do it. And it has some very good arguments. And, you know, I may go through a few of those as we go through this broadcast. But, you know, we know the voice of our flesh, that lower nature. Amen. So let's look at where it came from. And to look at where it came from, we've got to go all the way back to the beginning, and that's in Genesis. And as I study this out, what I see about this nature is that it is created out of a way of thinking. It's a carnal thinking. And it was introduced by Satan in the garden. So I'm going to read Genesis 3, chapter 3, but start in verse 17, and we'll probably read up to, I believe, 13. We shall see. Amen. Okay, starting in verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And this is after they had eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So their eyes, both their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Jehovah God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid himself from the presence of Jehovah God amongst the trees of the garden. Now they've never hid themselves from God before. And Jehovah God called unto the man and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid. He's never been afraid before, and now he's afraid. Because I was naked, and I hid myself. And then God says to him, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Jehovah God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So, the first thing that was introduced to them was a way of thinking that was apart from God. And the minute they began to consider these thoughts that were being presented by Satan, they were tempted. And they partook. Because the promise was that they would be as wise as God. And so their eyes were opened. And they saw that they were naked. And all of a sudden now they're ashamed. They've never been ashamed before. But now shame has entered the picture. Then when God came walking, and it speaks of his voice. So the presence of God, because he doesn't have a physical body like our natural bodies. And so they referred to it as, I heard your voice in the garden. And I was afraid. So now they're ashamed, they're afraid. And he hid himself. He hid from God. So now you know where we got that from, when we hide from God. And when God asked him, if he had eaten from the tree that he'd been instructed not to eat from. And the man, he starts to blame. So now he's blaming the woman. The woman that you gave me, God. She gave this to me. And I did eat. So now he's making excuses for what he's done. And he's blaming someone else. He's not holding himself accountable for his actions, but he's blaming someone else and actually including God in it, in the blaming process. It's the woman that you gave me. And when he asked the woman, of course, she says, it was that serpent that beguiled me. So now we see the beginning of that thought life that has been introduced to man and woman. The beginning of the flesh. Amen. Now, what is the world's perspective? After the fall of man and becoming subject, giving up our authority and our dominion in the earth, giving it over to Satan and being under his authority because we've yielded ourselves under his authority, and he has veiled the eyes of man so that they no longer can see God clearly. And as you, if you study the cultures of man over the years, that they've come up with all sorts of things representing God, because innately we know that there is something higher than ourselves. And so man has been given to worshiping the sun, worshiping statues, I mean, just all manner of things, because innately in us is this desire to worship. But we are designed to worship God. The world has come up with a perspective, the most current perspective. Is that has come through psychiatry, and I see a lot of psychiatry influencing the body of Christ. Psychiatry tells us that we are the sum total of our experiences in this world. What they cannot tell us is who we are after we have been born again. See, that's the unregenerate man. That unregenerate man, that carnal man, the man with that carnal nature, yes, he is the sum total of his experiences in this world. You know, the influences of his family life, his social life, his education, the things that he's been exposed to, those experiences growing up. But it is all under the influence of Satan, who is the prince and the ruler of this world system. But once you become born again, psychiatry cannot tell you who you are. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and then I am going to start reading in verse 18. It says, for the word of the cross is to them, that's the world, that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning will I bring to naught. So first we see that the cross, what happened on the cross is foolishness to those who are in that state of perishing, those who are non-believers. But once you are saved, to us who are born again, amen, it is the power of God, because only the power of God could have delivered us from the journey that we were on our way to hell, living a defeated life, living a life of disillusion and illusion, happiness escaping us. Sometimes we find it, then when we find it, we lose it. It's a fleeting thing. The joys of the world are temporary. Friendships are temporary and fragile. But that's the life outside of God, because it's ruled by the flesh. Those who do not understand the power of the cross and have not surrendered their lives to Christ are ruled by that lower nature, their carnal nature, what the Word of God calls the flesh. This verse 19, it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning will I bring to naught." And we can see that we have progressed technologically in leaps and bounds, but we have become more violent, more corrupt. The world is filled with all manner of lust and greed, hate and fear, because this is a life without God. A life without God is a life that is ruled by the flesh. So there are so many problems going on in the world, and man with his limited intellect and his limited wisdom is trying to come forth with answers to solve the problems. We write laws, we rewrite laws. But if the heart of the man is lawless, those laws mean absolutely nothing. And we see that in the world today. We see this spirit of lawlessness at work, because man left up to himself, to his carnal nature, it is self-destructing. So when we are born again, hallelujah, glory to God, this is the breaking free from the power of being dominated by our flesh. Our thought processes begin to change by being under the Word of God. As it washes our minds, it begins to affect our attitudes and our emotions and the types of decisions that we make. And our lives that were once dominated by the mind of the flesh begins to transition into being dominated by the Spirit. And it is a process, and it's a daily process, and it's and even within the day, it's ongoing as we move through our day, because we are like born again people in this world, in this broken world, we're like fish swimming, like the salmon swimming upstream. We're going in the opposite direction of this current. And it is like this great waterfall. If you've ever seen salmon swimming up a river where there's a waterfall, and they're swimming against that strong current. And that is what we are doing now that we are born again. We are going against the current of this world. And daily we're being exposed to it. And it is the washing by the word of God that cleanses us from the things that we are exposed to daily. I am now going to read a little bit more in Romans 8. Amen. Because our lives change drastically once we've been born again. It is through the knowledge of God and through our experiences with God that we begin to drastically change. And we can see that by how people who knew us before we were saved, how they respond to us now that we are saved. For some, it's very hard for them to even accept us in this born again state. Let's move down to Romans 8, 12 through 17. You know, I really want to this word today to go forth in power, to not resist it. The resistance that you may feel at some of the things that are being said about the flesh is the flesh itself reacting, because it opposes the word of God. Romans 8, verses 1 through 17. So I'll read some of the verses and I'll probably speak on, as I'm being led, speak on verses and stop. So I may not read all 17 of these verses at once. You know, I thought I was going to be able to get through this in one episode, declaring the finished work, but we will see, because I do have quite a bit of scripture to get through. Okay, let's go to Romans 8, verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That is a very important statement. Verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, by our lower nature, our carnal nature, could not do." All the flesh did was awaken the flesh even, all the law did was awaken the flesh even more. It just sort of magnified it, which was its purpose. It needed to expose to us that in and of ourselves, we cannot break free of this power of sin over our lives. But God had a plan for that. So God has done this through the cross. It goes on to say, "By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh," in the likeness, not sinful flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh, "and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." So Jesus, he comes into the earth knowing that he is that sacrificial lamb. He is representing mankind. He is the last Adam. And for once and for all, the sin issue is being dealt with. This body of sin that began in that garden so many thousands of years ago has been broken by the Son of God, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So on that cross, he condemned the sins of the world in the flesh of Jesus. Verse 4 tells us why. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We couldn't fulfill the law. But because of what he has done, the righteous requirement of the law has been fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What does that mean? Does that mean if I walk according to the flesh, or if I walk according to the Spirit, it's not saying that it's left up to you, because if it was left up to you, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. But what it is saying is that it has now been broken. So now you are free to walk according to the Spirit, because now you can take dominion over that lower nature, which is just a way of thinking. It's the residue that's left over from your life in the world prior to being saved. Verse 5 says, for those who live implies that's a daily 24/7 thing. That's how you move. That's your habitual way of life. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, which is us who are born again, we set our minds on the things of the Spirit. To do this successfully, we have to hate our flesh. We have to recognize that no good thing dwells in it, that it is an enemy. Verse 6 says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. It kills things in our lives. As I said at the top of the opening of the exhortation, that it kills our joy, it kills our peace, because it causes us to worry, causes us to be fearful, causes us to be anxious, causes us to be angry. I mean, all those kinds of things. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Hallelujah. It says those who keep their minds on God are kept in perfect peace. Learning to keep your mind stayed on him. Verse 7 says, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Our carnal nature, that way of thinking, is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. The law, and what law is that? The law of the Spirit of life, The original plan was for us to eat of the tree of life. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. How can you? Because your flesh is at enmity with God, is hostile towards God. You, however, he's speaking to us who are born again. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. We now have been moved from one kingdom into another kingdom, the kingdom of God. And the Spirit of God has come and dwelled on the inside of us. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit, seated in Christ, in heavenly places. Glory to God. So the Spirit of God dwells in us. Verse 9 says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you." So if you've confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and received the forgiveness of sins and believe that He is the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world, and you have received Him as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God now dwells in you. I'm going to pause right there. That first verse, Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That is very important. It is key in our walk. Because as we go through the process of subduing our carnal nature, that if we give in to condemnation, if we condemn ourselves for the very things that Christ has been condemned with on the cross as Jesus Christ, the Savior, the perfect Lamb, then we are short-circuiting the power of God in our lives, the grace of God in our lives. So, when you fall, there should be godly sorrow and there should be repentance. And repentance is just a changing of your thinking. Because if you do not change your thinking about something, you will continue to repeat it. You will go around that mountain over and over because you'll keep making the same decisions because you keep thinking the same thoughts until your breakthrough. But when you begin to understand that no good thing dwells in your flesh, when you begin to embrace that truth, you can break free of things a lot sooner than having to go through years and years and years. Understanding, having that knowledge of that truth about that lower nature. Because that's not who you truly are. You are a new creation. And second, which is very important, is that the scripture tells us that we are in the Spirit. We who are born again are now, we are in the Spirit. That is where we live. We are in the Spirit. This is a faith walk. This is something that you have to believe. You're in God. God is in you. That is where you are now seated. You're in Christ, seated in heavenly places, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You're in the kingdom of God. We are in the Spirit. So there's no condemnation. We are in the Spirit, no longer in the flesh, in our carnal nature. Glory to God. And a verse that I didn't read that I think is very, very important because of this temporary physical tabernacle that we have, which is still corruptible. Amen. Because it is the physical body that we inherited from the first Adam. But this verse 11, glory to God, tells us if the spirit of him who raised Jesus, that same resurrecting spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Jesus, Christ Jesus, from the dead, hallelujah, the Spirit of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So when your physical body is under attack, you can go to this word and tell yourself, confess with your mouth what you believe, that the spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in me. Dwells in me, giving life to my mortal body through his spirit who dwells in me. By his stripes, I was healed. It's been dealt with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why we can believe for our healing. That's not a iffy thing. We may have to go through the process of rehearsing, believing in healing something that we didn't believe in because we came out of a system where you took drugs. You went to the doctor, you took your drugs, you know, and you weren't embracing this truth that by his stripes that you were healed. Glory to God. But this is a great scripture to recite over yourself when you're going through a physical tribulation. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 I'm going to now move to 2 Peter verse 3. Glory to God. I did say we were going to go through quite a few scriptures today. I don't know if we're going to get through all of them. But how we grow in the Lord is through our knowledge and our experiences in God. So you've got to know the Word of God, what the Word of God is saying. You've got to know the truth that makes you free, and then you have to experience it. The knowing it and experiencing it is what brings the freedom. It's not enough for you to quote the scriptures, but you have to take them in continually, because faith comes by hearing. You continuously hear and eat this word of God, and you will begin to experience the power of the word of God in your life. Amen. And that's how you step into liberty. And we go through stages of liberty. I'm a lot freer than I was 10 years ago. I'm a lot freer than I was 5 years ago. In fact, I'm freer today than I was yesterday, because I was listening to the Word of God yesterday and reading some scriptures that just kind of broke open some things for me. Glory to God, and gave me some revelation. And so even today, I'm not where I was yesterday. And that is God's plan for our lives, this continual transforming, that as we begin to behold his glory in the Word of God and through our prayer life and through our worship, hallelujah, that we are being transformed. And it's not by works. No man can boast, because it's not by works. Jesus. Philippians 1. Go to Philippians 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 9. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge." Our love grows. And in this particular scripture, it says it abounds more and more in knowledge. Our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ causes our love to abound. I mean, because he has been so good to us. And when we begin to embrace all that he has done for us through reading the scriptures, it's amazing what he has done for us. It still blows my mind. So, in Philippians, I'm going to read verse 9 again. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge." Not just knowledge. Your love is abounding more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Discernment. Being able to judge the Spirit by the Spirit. Being able to recognize a spirit that is a spirit of the devil and the spirit of God. Being able to differentiate the spirit of God at work or the spirit of the devil or the spirit of your flesh at work, which the devil uses because he's a defeated enemy, and the only thing that he can use in our lives is the flesh, which is why we need to hate it, because the enemy takes it and uses it as a weapon against us. Verse 10 says, "So that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and void of offense unto the day of Christ." Glory, can you imagine being void of offense? Because we spend a lot of time being offended by people. Things that people look at you a certain way. People don't speak to you. People say things to you. People do things to you. And you spend so much time being offended. And some people are offended by things that people have done to them for years. They live under this offense, this spirit of offense for years. But as we grow in our knowledge and our love abounds in the knowledge of God, and we begin to discern who the real enemy is, because first of all, it's not flesh and blood. And any person, even a believer, if he is operating under that carnal nature, the enemy will use that as a weapon against that person and against the people he comes into contact with. I like what verse 11 says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness," the fruits, plural, "of righteousness, which are through Jesus Christ unto the glory and praises of God." These fruits of righteousness, what does that look like? If you, in Galatians 5, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of righteousness. These are the fruits of the Spirit. These things flourishing in our lives. Hallelujah. Because we're walking by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Amen. Amen. So as I said, the flesh, which is at enmity with God, it wars against the Spirit of God. wars against the Spirit of God in us. It is the weapon that the enemy uses against us. When we're walking in the Spirit, when we're walking in relationship with our Father and with the Son and the Holy Spirit, He can't touch us. And so we've got to accept the fact that there is no good thing that dwells in our flesh. You know, when we were operating in the world in that unregenerate state, I mean, sure, we accomplish things. We accomplish things, you know, in our own willpower, we accomplish things. Things that we want to be, that made us feel good about ourselves, achievements. But the problem with that is that that's temporal. It cannot maintain confidence, the confidence that comes from God, which is eternal. It can't give you real security that comes from God that is eternal. It can't give you the stability of true identity, which only comes from God. Our flesh can be very negative, and negativity is a blinding spirit. You see everything through this negative lens. And that's the enemy's plan, is to fill your life with negative perspectives, to keep you from connecting with the positive, which brings light into the darkness. Just like in the natural realm, we have an example of that, which actually, there's so many things, most things in the natural are, you can look at them and learn how the Spirit operates. So like electricity and light, you know, you've got to have this negative contact, this positive contact, you put them together, and there's this light, this power that springs forth. So when something negative comes into your life, you take that which is positive, which is the Word of God, you take that positive power and you connect it with that negative power, and you've got light. Light always dispels darkness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we don't want to give the enemy anything that he can use against us, against our family, against our friends in the body of Christ. He has done enough to kill and to steal and to destroy in our lives. He's a spirit. And he needs a physical body to operate through. What do you think these terrorist groups are, and serial killers, and, you know, all of this violence and this murdering? That is the spirit of Satan in operation through an unregenerate man, a man who is operating purely in the flesh. He's blinded to the truth of the cross. He's susceptible to this dark power and not understanding that it's not him. It's not who he is, that he is under the influence. And that's what we see in operation in this world. How do I subdue the flesh? This carnal nature It uses our physical bodies to act out. Uses our mouths, uses our hands, uses our feet, take us to places that we shouldn't be, places that are really detrimental to us, causes us to do things that we shouldn't do. That lustful spirit to have premarital sex and take drugs. It uses this physical body to carry that out. 1 Corinthians 9, and I'm going to read verse 27, and it says, this is Paul speaking in this chapter. It says, "But I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." Buffet, that means to disable an antagonist, to subdue one's passions, keep under. I love this this definition that's derived from the root word. It says to rap with the fist. So, you know, to hit with the fist, and that's a very violent thing. But sometimes, you know, you have to be very aggressive with this carnal nature, because it wants to operate through your physical body. Is what it wants to do. The other thing too that is so subtle, especially once we in the body of Christ, it's easy to identify it, you know, when you're unsaved and, you know, you see it being expressed in all of its negative manifestations and rudeness and lawlessness and greed and anger and worry and anxiety, you know, all those negative things, depression, suicide, all of that stuff is easy to identify then, but it's a little bit more subtle in the church organization where believers are gathering together, and though it talks about carnal Christians who they're born again, so the Spirit of God has come in, but they have not yet allowed the Spirit to dominate their minds, and so their lower nature, that carnal nature, that fleshly nature, is still dominating their mind, which is why the importance of renewing your mind. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "For even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light." And as I said, Satan doesn't have a physical body. He's a spirit. So he is to use our flesh to enter in and use these physical tabernacles to do his dirty work. So in the church, sometimes our flesh will disguise itself as an angel of light because the enemy is using our flesh, deceiving us, and trying to deceive others, that our motivation is righteous or that it's pure. So when your flesh is disguising itself as an angel of light, look at your motivation and you'll know where it's really coming from. It appears as a self-righteous spirit. Because sometimes when we've been able to break through we've had, well, I wouldn't say we broke through, but we've had breakthroughs, because it's the Spirit, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit that breaks the yokes. But when we've had these breakthroughs and there are things that we no longer do, we have to be careful that we don't fall into a self-righteous spirit and we start to judge others, or we begin to think more highly of ourselves than we are. We get this exalted thinking, and we think that we have done this. So, I mean, this is where I am. What's wrong with you? You're supposed to be saved. But no. We have to always remember, it is not our righteousness. It is, our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. But it is the righteousness of God, which is a gift. It is a gift of God. He has clothed us in his righteousness. He has done what we were unable to do. And it was a great price that was paid so that we could have his righteousness. And it was the work of the cross. So this self-righteous spirit, this prideful spirit, conceit, this superiority complexes, or inferiority complex, you know, where, you know, we think we're such terrible people. It's almost as if, wait a minute, he died for you. He died for all of that. So are you discounting the power of the cross in your life? Allowing shame and guilt and to overtake you? Or unforgiveness or anger or revenge to overtake you? Are you discounting the work of the cross? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. But I love Hebrews 4:12. It talks about the word of God being sharper than a two-edged sword. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. You definitely want to stay in the word of God, because you want to be able to quickly discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What's the intention? What am I thinking? Does it line up with the word of God? Is it carnal thinking? That thinking that comes from the enemy. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. I am going to stop right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you and we thank you for the word that has gone forth. We thank you, Lord God, that you are continuing to take us from glory to glory as you continue to reveal yourself to us. And Lord God, as you present truth to us, we embrace it and we say yes and we say amen. I thank you for revealing to us that no good thing dwelleth in the flesh, that we cannot rely on ourselves. We cannot fall into that mode of this independent spirit, independent of God. That when we walk by the flesh, we fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's always through our bodies that we misuse them. I thank you. I thank you for the law of the spirit of life through Christ Jesus operating in our lives. I thank you that we are maturing into the sons of God. For all creation is groaning and travailing. Even us. For the redemption of these physical bodies. That's the glorious hope that we have of laying down this corruptible and picking up the incorruptible. We thank you for showing us that it is important that we do not store up our riches in the earth, but we store up our treasures, those things that we hold dear to our heart, that we store them up in the heavens, because they are spiritual things. They are spiritual treasures. That when we seek first the kingdom of God, that all of these things that we have need of in this natural life, that you will provide, and we can rest in that. We don't have to be anxious about it. We do not have to be fearful when we go through trials and tribulations, but we can rest and trust because you have overcome the world for us. You have caused us to be more than conquerors. We thank you. And Father, I ask that if there's someone listening to this broadcast today who has not received your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior, that their hearts will open, that they will confess in with their mouths that Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead, that he carried their sins to the cross so that they might be forgiven and may have eternal life, that they confess that they are in need of a Savior, that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, that with their mouths they will ask you to come into their heart, Lord Jesus, and live and be the Lord of their life. It's in Christ Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God.